and welcome everybody to the first episode of Shootin' the Sith. This is going to be a Star Wars only podcast that we will have on our network under the Fandom Vibe feed. This is going to be fun times. Can't tell you how often it's going to come out. We may do it once a week. We may do it once every month. We may do it twice a month. We may do it once every other month. I don't know how often it's going to come out, but
we're doing it.
But we're doing it. That's what we're doing. We're doing Star Wars stuff. We're loving it.
We're doing it.
Do it. Do it. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to go talk about this evening or this episode.
This afternoon.
This afternoon. This day.
This morning.
This morning. This yesterday.
Whoa.
So I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Shwanda.
Okay. So with that said, I am Robert Slavinsky. You may have heard my voice on another show called Bridging the Geekdoms. With me almost all the time anymore, although it's going to be not as frequent. Well, I mean, the same amount of frequency, yes. But I will have other people talking with me, such as Deej or John or something. But with me is Colton Bird.
Your boy.
Your boy. Mr. Colton
Bird. Had to do it to him. Completely visual thing for an audio show.
Yeah. Good job there.
I'm stupid. I'm sorry.
So if you've ever heard our show in the past, we used to do a show called Star Wars Talk.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what this is going to be. It's just us talking Star Wars. We love Star Wars. We're knowledgeable with Star Wars. Am I going to say we know everything? Absolutely not.
No, but no one knows everything.
No one knows everything. Not even George Lucas. Not even Pablo Hidalgo. Not even Dave Filoni. None of them know everything. That's why they have to have a whole story group at Lucasfilm to be able to know what they're doing whenever they make anything. So that's besides the point. We're going to move on. This episode, I think, is going to be kind of cool. We have a lot of stuff that's going on in the Star Wars news. So I'm going to touch on a few things there. Mm-hmm. But we have a big chunk of this episode that's going to be dedicated to a topic.
To Star Wars.
To Star Wars. The topic is essentially going to be what could have made the sequel trilogy better. Obviously, the trilogy isn't over yet. So
episode 9 won't be ruled in.
Episode 9 isn't ruled in. But this really has nothing to do with that. And we're going to get into that shortly. But first,
in a bit,
I want to talk about some of the news that's been going on.
Wait. How have you been since the last time we did a Star Wars talk?
You know, there's been a lot of Star Wars stuff going on. Episode 9's been filming. What's the title going to be?
We got Chewbacca on a horse, too.
Yeah. Oh, we've talked about that, haven't we? Did we do Star Wars?
Not on a Star Wars talk.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's been going on with Star Wars. I'm excited. At this point in time,
there's a lot in between now and Star Wars Episode 9.
December, I was going crazy. It was the first December in 4 years where we didn't have any Star Wars coming out, so it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
You know, just Aquaman filled the hole a little bit, but...
But it wasn't lightsabers.
Yeah, it wasn't lightsabers.
And pew!
You know, Resistance is on. It's not great, but it's something.
Yeah. It's a kid's show.
Yeah.
Just watch Rebels again.
Maybe.
Or Clone Wars. Give yourself a reason to watch that again.
Yeah. But, you know, really...
That comes back this year, actually.
Yes, it does. When it comes to Star Wars, I'm just looking forward to the future and what's coming. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the comic book world with Star Wars. I do want to talk about a couple things there as well. But the one thing that I wanted to touch on, and crap, where did it go?
It was me.
It
was the Force. Reach out with the Force, young one.
The Mandalorian. That comes out later in 2019. Later this year, it's going to be coming out. Obviously, it's the mastermind, Jon Favreau, is behind this show.
Mm-hmm.
They have had some guest directors on there. Taika Waititi was on there, who directed Thor Ragnarok. Dave Filoni directed an episode. I'm excited. I'm really excited for this show, The Mandalorian. You know, we've seen some pictures of IG-88, or we saw a picture of IG-88 going to be in it.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. What are your expectations for this?
I don't really know.
I mean, we know very, very small amount. Like, we know it takes place after Return of the Jedi. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much all we know.
Is it going to dive more into the Mandalore,
you know, there's
traditions
rumors,
and cultures?
Well, there's rumors that it has to do with a little boy. That there is either going to be a bounty or something on a little boy, and that the main character, who is a Mandalorian, has to rescue this little boy from other bounty hunters in the galaxy. Bless you. So that, I think, is going to... I mean, that's probably something what it's going to be like.
Something similar to the Clone Wars movie.
Yeah, I hope not.
Because when you boil it down, that was what it was.
Yeah, that was... But... I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be cool. This is our first live-action Star Wars TV show ever.
I'm excited for it.
I mean, I'm pumped for it. And again, that comes out later this year. Also, we got Clone Wars.
2019 coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back.
There you go.
They're saying it's the final season. It's going to be 12 episodes.
They say it's the final season to get people to watch it. And then they're going to be like, boom, another season.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Clone Wars got really good as soon as it got onto Adult Swim, when it could be dark and it got gritty and stuff like that.
It was always good. I mean, yeah, the first couple seasons were kind of rough, but it was still good.
Yeah.
It was still enjoyable to watch.
And then it got very adult, and that's what I liked about it. Because Clone Wars, it's a war. Not everything's like rainbows and stuff like that.
Rainbows.
People die.
People, wait, what?
I don't know. You stopped me for a second. But, like, people die and stuff during war, and that's something, we actually saw in Clone Wars, which was nice.
It was nice, because, you know, the franchise is called Star Wars.
Yeah, and how often do we see a war?
Not very often.
Well, I mean, technically, basically, it goes from one war and jumps right into another war, but you don't see it.
Rogue One. And honestly, we had a really cool war scene in Solo that was way too short, which I wish was longer.
Just give us the whole movie just on that. That would be amazing.
Dude, just do a Star Wars movie that is like Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly. Like, I don't know why we don't have that yet.
Like, that would be amazing.
I would watch it.
I would too.
Like, you can just...
Dude, get Spielberg. And Spielberg did Band of Brothers. Get him to do a Star Wars version of Band of Brothers.
Saving Shaak Ti.
It doesn't need to even be Jedi. Like, that's the thing. It doesn't even need to be Jedi. It could just be rebels against the Empire.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome. Like, I don't need to necessarily see lightsabers in it. Like, as long as it's a good story and it's cool, I'm all for it.
And keep it accurate to how military would be.
Yeah.
Like, just...
That'd be cool.
Sign me up for a stormtrooper in that movie. Or a rebel trooper. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'll take whatever you give me.
So... We also had a fan film that came out recently.
It was too short.
It was too short. Now, it's from YouTuber Star Wars Theory.
Does have really good videos. Check him out. He's not sponsoring us or anything.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really enjoy his stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of content that he talks about with Star Wars. And
yeah, he's very knowledgeable about the topic.
Definitely more knowledgeable than us, but... Yeah. I mean, he's good to watch sometimes. Sometimes some of his things are like, eh, come on, man.
He had a slow day.
Yeah, but a lot of times he's got great content. So he made a fan film called Vader Episode 1, Shards of the Past. It wasn't bad.
Nah, Palpatine's voice was rough, but you can't get Ian McDermott. I understand that.
I'm not going to sit there and say it's a great movie. There's things that I liked, things that I didn't like. I liked the little twist that was there, where it was him with, you know, with Palpatine, because at first you have no idea that he's, you know, he's facing Palpatine.
Yeah.
But then you see he's facing Palpatine, and it really just did something. You know, it was just like, wow, like, that is how I would foresee Vader being. You know,
during that encounter.
During that time. Not just that encounter, but during that time, you know, finding out that Padme died and everything that Palpatine was telling him has been a lie, stuff like that. When he would find that out, I would see him, because he's such an emotional person. He was before he was Vader. Why would that be any different?
Yeah, it should be worse.
It should be worse, exactly. And that's kind of how I would always see it. And I think it grasps that fan film definitely grasps that.
It just starts to get good and then it ends.
Yeah. Again, it says episode one. It looks like there's going to be more episodes.
Yeah, but his Kickstarter's for like $100,000. And stuff like that. It's going to be a while before we get episode two.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm totally for an episode two, but it's going to be a second.
Just a second.
Boom. Back up.
you got that going on. Again, there's a lot of stuff with Star Wars going on.
Just none of it's in the mainstream.
None of it is really in the mainstream right now, except for some of the stuff that's going on with the comics. Now, I...
You need to do it.
Okay, so the comics are cool.
They have multiple different storylines.
Yeah, they have multiple storylines. All of it is within continuity, though.
Yes.
The one that gets the most attention is the Vader comics.
And rightfully, I've read a couple of them. Rightfully so.
The last few comics, though, I think have actually hurt Star Wars lore than helped it. A couple issues back, there was one that kind of people say it confirms who Anakin's father is. I disagree. And I want to kind of get your thoughts on this, Colton, because, you know, sitting here and, you know, I was reading it and I looked at it and I read it a completely different way than so many other people do. Now, I know in the Darth Plagueis novel, it was alluded to that they played a hand in creating Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Now, the way the story goes, something along the lines of Plagueis and Palpatine are trying to create life.
Yeah.
They're trying to create a child who they can raise to be
evil.
But the light side of the Force, the midichlorians, realize this, and they fight off Plagueis and Palpatine, and it doesn't happen. That's in the book.
Yeah.
There is, you know, later on in the story of Palpatine and everything, there's a conversation that he has with Count Dooku, where Count Dooku explains to Palpatine of the child that Qui-Gon Jinn finds on Tatooine. He explains to him how he has no father and how he's 9 years old. And Palpatine goes, could it be? No, he goes, could it be? Hmm. Or is it possible? Or something like that. And that's where it's alluded to that
maybe
he and Plagueis created Anakin. It's never confirmed. It's never stated at all.
It's all speculation.
So this new comic that came out a couple weeks ago, basically people are saying that it confirms, spoilers, it's been a few weeks, it is what it is. This I'm going to tell you right now, guys, this show, unless it's about a full-length movie, episode 9, or a standalone movie, or even the TV shows, if it's comic-related, book-related, anything like that, there's going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about
it. You can't skip around that either.
It's tough to know what people have read, what they haven't read. Movies are one thing. I have a strict policy when it comes to movies. We don't openly talk about spoilers for roughly a month after it comes out. That's on our original or our other show, Bridging the Geekdoms, as well as here. We will have a spoiler section for reviews and stuff like that, but we always warn the listeners beforehand.
We give you a very far heads up.
So if you're new to the show, definitely just be aware that, you know, spoilers will be coming at some point in time. And it may just happen without me noticing it. Yeah. But we are very courteous when it comes to films, and we will be courteous with The Mandalorian and such. So keep that in mind. But in this comic, there is a few panels where you have... It's a vision. There's a vision. Anakin is having, or Vader is having, a vision of Palpatine and a vision of his mother, of when he was in the womb. And he sees Palpatine behind Shmi Skywalker, behind his mother. And the panels make it seem like he is manipulating the child within the womb.
Yeah.
She's already pregnant. Mm-hmm. And he's standing behind her manipulating the child already.
Yeah, there.
There. I look at it like this. I look at it as Palpatine, who is always a manipulator. That's what he has been. That's how we've always known him to be.
He's always a manipulator. Been that.
I see him as manipulating the child. I'm not seeing it as he created Anakin.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it as he did anything to create life. Now I know that the story that he tells about he and Plagueis, about his, you know, Darth Plagueis the Wise,
and in canon that's all we have,
is that, you know, Darth Plagueis found a way to create life.
Yeah,
but this isn't Plagueis
to help himself.
This is Palpatine. This isn't Plagueis here. So that is curious to me, because Palpatine specifically states that this is an ability that he needs Anakin's help in discovering how to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that if he would have done it, then why would he tell Anakin that? Why, you know, like that's the kind of thing that just confuses me a little bit. But I don't see it that way. I don't see Palpatine as Anakin's father. Now, you can look at it this way. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. What is your take? What do you think? Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Cool.
See, it's I'm going to say this. I interpret it as if okay. We don't have much about Plagueis in canon, so we can't really go much on that. And I'm assuming that a lot of these panels are going off the assumption of the novel that's no longer in canon or was never in canon, so we're just assuming. But I think that maybe that Anakin was somehow created outside by Plagueis before and Palpatine never knew. And this still is Darth Vader realizing that his whole life he was just a ploy in a game. He was just a pawn. And that's one of his fears, I guess, or anxiety about it. And that's how he saw it in a vision. And he's like, I've just been a toy to Sidious this entire time.
Yeah.
Ever since my creation, I've been a toy.
I look at it very similar to as you do.
It's
as,
just,
you know, the entire time.
Yeah,
you
know, my whole creation, I've just been used.
Yeah, it's been nothing but being used. That's how I look at it also.
Yeah.
I do. My thing is, I think it would be horrible if it turned out that Palpatine was his father in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't think it works. I don't think it fits with the narrative of what we've had in Star Wars.
No.
I like how they allude to it.
Yeah, because we still technically don't know how he was made.
Yeah. I mean, he had no father. That's how it should stay. It keeps the mystery. It keeps Anakin being special. This doesn't make him special anymore. It doesn't make his journey a tragedy anymore.
Yeah, it kind of makes it stupid.
It doesn't make it stupid, but that's what it was always supposed to be. He was always supposed to turn. When he has no father and Palpatine isn't the one that creates him, then is a tragedy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The tragedy of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, but rise and fall.
Yeah, but if you look at it now as Palpatine created him, it's now...
He's just been a pawn. He's nothing special.
Exactly. And to me, that bothers me. That bothers me on so many levels when it comes to Star Wars.
I agree, because it tears down how many years?
Yeah, like 40 years of Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just... he said he just made him. That was his plan the whole time.
Yeah. So that, to me, that's my issue with it. I don't think it's horrible. I think that, one, it could be a false vision.
Yeah.
It could be, like you're saying,
personification of his thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, exactly. How he feels that, you know, and he may be curious and wondering, have I been manipulated my entire existence?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it as being. I don't see it as Palpatine being his father. I just think that is a horrible, horrible thing to go with. I'm sorry. I just do. And there's some people that really like it, and it just baffles me because, like I said,
it just doesn't make sense.
Episode 1 through episode 6 is the story of Anakin Skywalker, the rise, the fall, the rise of Anakin. It's a tragedy. Complete tragedy, start to finish. You see how much of a joyous kid he is, how good of a heart he has.
Yeah, and how talented he is.
And to then be conflicted because of love, to be conflicted because of the Jedi ways of, and you know, say what you want about the Jedi, but the Jedi were not perfect, you know, and that is why that played a role in Anakin's fall. You then have Anakin fall to becoming Darth Vader. You then have his redemption because of his son.
Yeah, for love again.
Dying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's a tragedy, and it's a great story, but...
It's the reason it's the modern-day Iliad and Odyssey.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. And that this idea of Palpatine being his father, I think completely ruins that.
It poops on it.
It's unfair. It's unfair.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, so we're in the second... Not the sequel, but we're farther down the road, we're getting episodes 10, 11, and 12. So we all know that's going to happen. They can say episode 9 is the last sequel movie, or last...
Skywalker film.
But we're going to get 10, 11, and 12 eventually. I wouldn't mind seeing a Plagueis film sometime during then and kind of somewhat explain, like, hey, we kind of had somewhat of a hand in the making of Anakin. Because, like, maybe he was just a child of the Force. Like, maybe the midichlorians were like, hey, something they're planning it.
See, I always liked it as, you know, Palpatine, you know, Palpatine and Plagueis rose up to such power, to such strength that they couldn't be sensed. Like, the Jedi knew nothing about them. The Jedi thought the Sith to be extinct. You know, they were sure of it. But, you know, Anakin was created as a counterbalance to the power that the Sith had. And that is how I always always looked at it. You know, people talk about the balance of the Force. Oh, Anakin really balanced the Force because once he killed off, you know...
yeah, there was two and two.
Like, no. Like, that's...
that's stupid.
It's stupid. It is what it is. People want to think that. That's fine. It is what it is. But I always look
at like
it
as... But, like, have a movie explain that. Like, Plagueis was trying to form something and they were so powerful that Anakin was the counterbalance.
Exactly. And that is what the Plagueis book kind of alludes to.
Like, if they would make that into a Plagueis movie... Like, during 10, 11, and 12, I'd be fine with it.
And that makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense to see that, you know, midichlorians realize that there are these powerful beings that they have to create a counterbalance. They have to create something that can take them on. And it just so happens that Palpatine is smart enough to manipulate it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I like that. I like...
Because then that's a prequel to one, episode one.
And the more you bring Palpatine in and you see his manipulative power and his abilities, that makes him such a better character even in the movies.
Because even then, you don't have to have him as a Sith the entire time. Because he's still a senator from Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
We could see his rise to political power.
Yeah, exactly.
Even before he was, like, before he was the Grand Chancellor.
Yeah, Chancellor.
Yeah, you just see him become a senator.
Exactly.
And still have red hair.
So then there was another issue of Vader that came out. And it just... I don't know. I'm conflicted with what they're doing in these comics. Because we know that Vader is dead set on bringing Padme back. You know, he wants to bring Padme back to life. That's his mission. That's his goal. And he's finding ways to tap into the Force, trying to bring the love of his life back to life. That's what he's doing. In this latest episode,
latest issue, not episode.
Latest issue. Sorry.
I mean, I guess you could say episode.
Yeah. Anakin comes all the way to find a way to bring Padme back from the dead. He believes he finds a way to do it. But as he makes his way through the wasteland of memories that the Force has created for him, so he, like, tears down a wall of the Force and, like, enters into the Force. Per se.
Yeah, metaphorically.
And he goes into the Force, and he's heading toward transforms before his eyes. In keeping with the Force narration that the truths that what we cling to depend on your point of view, the Sith structure twists into the Jedi Temple of Coruscant, with the Jedi Council leading a collection of dead masters standing in his way. So you see Plo Koon, you see Shaak Ti, you see Mace Windu, you see a bunch of other Jedi there, including, which people were like freaking out about, Yoda. Now, this takes place even before Episode 4. This is a storyline that takes place between Episode 3 and 4. We know Yoda's not dead. But Vader believes he's dead.
Yeah, as far as he's concerned.
Palpatine and Vader believe Yoda is dead. Like, he's gone. You know, I mean, they either believe him to be dead or just gone forever.
Yeah.
So him seeing a vision of Yoda makes sense. Some people are trying to say, no, Yoda actually tapped into the Force and he was actually there in the Force.
That's very possible. That's because possible. He was an exile.
Yeah. So it's curious to what they're doing here, but... I think they're trying to dive into the Force too much.
Yeah.
That has been my issue with Star Wars. That's probably my biggest issue with the Disney era Star Wars films. Because they're doing different things with the Force that...
kind of shouldn't exist with the Force.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. You know, prior to the prequels, all we knew was
superpower.
Not a superpower, but, you know, it was an energy force that, you know, binds us, you know, connects all the living things together, you know. That's what it was to us. Then in the prequels, they explain the midichlorians, which even makes more sense. You know, somebody who has higher midichlorians are more attuned to the Force. I liked that idea.
That makes sense.
I liked that idea, you know, because that makes more sense for the Jedi. It makes more sense that why there's Jedi, why there's Sith, why Han Solo isn't a Jedi, you know, because he doesn't have a high midichlorian count. Makes sense. They're trying to go back on that a little bit, as well as introducing a whole bunch of other stuff about the Force and about this universe that seems to be getting off track. And Rebels even did it. They did that whole thing where, like, there was like this time, I can't think of what it, like time chamber type of thing, where you could go back in time through the Force and see different events and stuff like that. It was cool.
But that shouldn't happen.
But exactly.
Like, it just shouldn't. I mean, we all know it's fantasy, but sometimes you break your own rules.
And sometimes, you know, it just seems like keeping things simple is better than trying to over-explain things.
Yeah.
And I feel that's what the Vader comic is doing. I think they're right now in this point where they're over-explaining things, over-reaching.
Yeah.
They're overreaching, and I think that that's going to hurt. You know, with the Palpatine thing, with this thing.
Honestly,
that's my problem.
I'm going to say something that you're going to look at me stupid, and I'm going to explain it. I want a Darth Vader movie. It takes place between 3 and 4, but it shows his struggle with this, how he wants to learn how to bring Padme back, but he just can't.
No, I agree.
Like, it just shows his internal struggle of, I did this all for her, and now I'm stuck here. I can't do anything.
I think a really cool thing to do...
That would be the only acceptable Darth Vader movie.
Would be to have half the movie, him remembering what he did prior to him being in the suit.
Yeah.
So he's haunted by the memories of just killing
Of genocide.
Jedi. Of genocide, exactly. Of killing younglings, killing Jedi, you know, fighting, even fighting Obi-Wan. He's haunted by those memories, which just continuously angers him more. And the only thing that brings him peace is the idea of Padme, of possibly getting Padme back in his life. And that is the only thing that has any light at the end of the tunnel for him. And that's what drives him.
Yeah.
But then, through the movie, he finds out all of the lies and all of the deceit that Palpatine has, you know, told him, has shown him, has given to him, and it just drives him even more into the dark side, and he just starts pushing away the idea of Padme, and it just keeps getting pushed and pushed away. It leads into episode five, where he learns about Luke, and that's when it reignites the good, the light inside of him reignites.
That there's the Padme there.
Exactly, that's his connection to Padme. Like, that would just be an amazing thing. And even if he had, because he was one to have, Anakin was one to have those Force visions of the future. Mm. Like, imagine a movie where he has a Force vision of his battle with Luke.
Yeah.
You know, like, stuff like that. Like, that to me, I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah, great
if they
foreshadowing
did it
and stuff.
Exactly. And if they were to ever do an Obi-Wan movie, you could then also have it kind of connected.
Yeah.
Like, imagine doing a trilogy like that. Like, you have a trilogy where one is Vader, one is Obi-Wan, and one is Yoda.
Yeah.
A trilogy of movies.
And they all interlink at some point.
In some form or fashion, they interlink.
Yeah, I would be down with that.
That'd be cool.
The only thing I'd want to see in a Star Wars Vader movie would be him going to Naboo.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you would have to have him visit Padme's grave.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing you can do.
Absolutely.
And you know there's going to be guards, so there's going to be a battle there, so you can get your action scene in.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I'm all for it.
But, like, you would have to have that just for that emotional point.
All for it. I'm all for it.
Just him take off the helmet for a second. That would be cool.
Yeah, I'd like it. I would watch it. I'd be there. I'd sit there and watch with my eyes.
Have him battle Obi-Wan one more time on Naboo.
Yeah.
Because he's visiting Jar Jar for some reason. I don't fucking know. Look at us, though. We're back at it.
Back at it. It's been a while, but we're back at it. Okay, so that's kind of what I'm going to touch on. Obviously, you know, when it comes to episode 9, people want to know what the title is going to be. I'm going to tell you this, my prediction. This is solely a prediction. I have no insight knowledge. We will know the title before the end of this month. I'm telling you that right now. It's January right now. Before February 1st, we will have the title for episode 9. We will have the first trailer April during Celebration. It'll be a teaser trailer, but we will have the first trailer then. Our then next full-length trailer will be October of this year. That is how things are going to play out. I do suspect that we will get an announcement of another Star Wars movie after episode 9. I think that it's not going to be 2020. I think it's going to be 2021 is when the next movie is going to come out.
Sadly.
Whether it's going to be what the Game of Thrones guys are doing, what Rian Johnson is doing, or if it's going to be something completely that we have no idea about.
I'm surprised they're still going through with the Rian Johnson thing.
Yeah.
Especially after the backlash.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to watch
it. I mean, rumor has it he's doing the Old Republic, and everybody wants the Old Republic.
Yeah, but... Yeah. SJW Old Republic.
I'm looking forward to what they do, but that's my prediction. That over this year, not only are we going to get The Mandalorian, Clone Wars in Episode 9. I think we're going to get an announcement of a new movie, at least one movie, possibly two movies that will be coming up. I think they have to. I think they need to rein everybody back in. People are excited about Episode 9, but we have no idea what's coming after that. I think they need to find a way to bring people back. Like, look, it's in good hands. We're ending, quote-unquote, ending the Star Wars Skywalker saga with Episode 9. And this is what we're going to be doing afterwards to get excited about. So get excited.
Gives us an Ahsoka TV show.
I'd be down.
I would too.
I like Ahsoka.
Gives us a Starkiller movie too. Gives us The Force Unleashed, but a movie.
Again, I think that they could adapt that storyline. Obviously, you can call him Starkiller, but I think they could adapt him for an Obi-Wan trilogy.
I would 100% be fine with that.
Yeah. You make that character the main villain in an Obi-Wan movie, in a movie or trilogy or whatever, the apprentice of Vader, and you just go with it.
Like that could be the premise of our trilogy. We can just give Starkiller the Obi-Wan movie, put him in there, and then you have Vader, and we'd have to do something with Yoda.
Yeah.
Maybe there we go. We could do a movie boot right there.
There we go. all right, so. This Star Wars sequel trilogy so far, we're two-thirds of the way through it, has been...
a fucking roller coaster.
A roller coaster for sure. Colton and I both love The Force Awakens. We both love The Last Jedi. We have our issues with The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Canto Bight, Rose.
Finn.
Yeah. You fight for what you love. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
There's things that...
Aldo.
There's things that just weren't great in the movie. We know that. We accept it. And we're moving forward. We're moving forward...
Because we're adults.
We're adults, yeah. We get that it wasn't the best Star Wars movie, but it wasn't the worst either. It wasn't. I don't care what anybody says. It is not the worst Star Wars movie.
Holiday special.
It's just not. You know, and so just move forward... We know...
Yeah, it's bad enough you took it out on Solo, and that was a damn good movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad enough that people took it out on Solo. It's time to move forward and get excited for Episode 9. But that's not where we're going with this. Where I'm going with this is Episode 7 and Episode 9... Or Episode 8. Episode 7 and Episode 8. They were great movies. They're not great, but they were good movies. They were fun movies. Absolutely a blast to watch. But what is the one thing... that they could possibly do to make it better. Now, before you say anything, I want to say this.
Okay.
It's December 2015. All of us are anxiously awaiting for those blue words a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away to pop up on our screen. That's what we're waiting for. We're anxiously sitting there.
We're sitting there 2.5 hours beforehand because you know we're nerds.
4 hours for me and Jordan. We're sitting there 4 hours beforehand.
God.
Many of us have read the Expanded Universe. We have.
Yes.
You know, we read...
That's part of
the
growing
Thrawn trilogy.
Up.
We read, you know, Rogue Squadron, you know, books. We read it. We knew, like, we had an idea of what was in the Expanded Universe. However, we did know that they
Retcon
did away with
all.
That continuity. It was gone. So, yeah, some of the Expanded Universe was good. Mm-hmm. Some of it was bad, like... Why would you kill Chewbacca with the moon? Like, come on.
Hey, I like that storyline.
I think it's stupid.
I liked it.
I think it's stupid.
The fact that he became a god after it was awesome. Anyway.
But, you know, what people had to realize, and I think people were able to accept it, and I think they've come to accept it finally at this point, that the sequel trilogy that we're going to be getting, the sequel movies that we're getting, that stuff is out. It's gone. So the Lucasfilm card pops up on screen. All right, boom. Lucasfilm. And then for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes, we're introduced to new characters such as Poe, BB-8, Finn, Rey, Kylo, and more. Yeah, we had a sprinkle of Han, Chewie, Leia, 3PO, and R2, but that wasn't what we longtime fans wanted. No, what we craved was the continuation of the story that was left off on the forest moon of Endor. That is what we wanted, and we didn't get it. Granted, I loved The Force Awakens. Love The Force Awakens. But for as much as we love it, that is not what we wanted. Realistically, we all knew we would be getting something fresh, new, but we all had that hope that we would get a strong story leading us to an end or a farewell to those beloved heroes. We have absolutely received the farewell to some of them, but the story leading up to it has been, well, a bit lackluster. Han is found to be off with just his with his trusty companion Chewie. They're off leaving their son, his son and wife behind because, well, reasons. Like, that's pretty much all we're given. Just reasons.
That still isn't explained either.
I mean, a little bit,
but
not great.
Yeah.
Leia is not as respected as she once was because the New Republic doesn't believe that they could be as easily corrupted as they were by Palpatine, thus essentially shunning one of the most influential voices during the Galactic Civil War. What?
Because that makes sense.
Exactly. Again, just these little things are a little annoying. And Luke, well, Luke just turned out to be an old hermit on an island with complex issues. No, honestly, his story is the most explained, but simply seeing a couple flashbacks and a few conversations did not do it justice for where he was as a character at this point in time.
Yeah.
So our three big characters that we all wanted to see continued
kind of got shitty starts.
Exactly.
Well, continuations, not starts.
And again, I'm going to say this again. We love The Force Awakens. We love The Last Jedi. We do. We like these movies. But how much better, or how would you have felt, had Lucasfilm done this one thing with the trilogy that they're creating? Do you think you know where I'm going with this?
I don't know, but I have an idea.
Okay. So, Star Wars has always been an interesting concept. The way George Lucas made Star Wars was always interesting. You know,
starting it off halfway through the series.
Exactly. You know, he started with A New Hope. Like, and technically, at that point in time,
It was just Star Wars.
It was just Star Wars. But it started in the middle of a story. It started like a like the serials on TV, you know, like the Flash Gordons on TV, where it just, yeah, the... You had a few paragraphs that explained what came before, and boom, you're into the action.
Yeah.
That's what Star Wars is.
Literally into the action.
Exactly. So that's awesome, because he could then technically expand backwards or forward. Like, he gave himself options, which was a brilliant idea, you know, because you can build either way that you want. Yeah. You can just go one way. You could go both ways. You can do whatever you want at that point. It was a smart move by George Lucas. Whether that's what he was thinking at the time or not, it was still a smart move. Okay. Disney didn't do that.
No, they started from the beginning.
They started at episode 7. So tell me, how much better, how would you have taken The Force Awakens? And not just you, Colt. I'm talking to the listeners here, especially the listeners who don't enjoy The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi as much as we do. How would you feel if they actually started at episode 10?
Well, this wasn't where I thought it was going, but I think it would help it out.
Because then we would have the promise of getting a 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
So all of those questions, all of these things that we're curious about, who is Snoke, who is Rey's parents, who is this, who are that, where was Han, why is Chewie like this, why is Leia like that, all those questions that we have yet to get answered and that they're trying to answer in now one movie.
Yeah, could have been explained in 3. And you could have got some of the legend, or not, well, yeah, no, it's legends. You could have got some of the legend stuff in it, too.
Absolutely.
I think that would have been a smart idea. I thought you were, I was going a completely different route with this, but I like that idea. I think it would have worked.
It would have been.
Because then you would have got so much more story. You would have had promised five. I put up 10 fingers. I don't know why. 5 movies instead of 3.
6.
I'm counting 7 as already, like...
No. It would have been 10, 11...
Oh, well, that's why, Matt, I count 10 as already being... Like, you're promised 5 more movies after that.
After 10, okay.
So, you have story everywhere. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
They would have the ability to see what worked. So, there's some things that didn't work in episode 7. So, they could plan, after they finish that trilogy, to go back and fix those things.
Just completely wreck on it.
Yeah. You know, but further explain, just like George Lucas did. You know, George Lucas, Empire Strikes Back, you know, you will train with Yoda, the same Jedi who trained me, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, Obi-Wan had a master? What?
Yeah, but then we go back and it's Qui-Gon, and he's like, crap, well, I can simply change that in episode 2. Look, Yoda trained all the younglings, you know, and he had options to fix yeah. it. They don't have that option now. Like, yeah, they do kind of to fix a few things here and there,
yeah.
but they don't have much of an option.
Yeah, it's whatever they say is going.
Exactly, because you can't sit there and, like, it would be impossible. I mean, it wouldn't be impossible, but it wouldn't be smart to do a standalone movie that's about the Skywalker yeah. saga.
You couldn't do directly. A 7.5.
Exactly. You couldn't do a 6.5.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't do that because it wouldn't make sense. The Skywalker saga are the episodic films. Yeah. That's what they are. You know, yes, you have Leia in Rogue One, but it's not a Skywalker movie. She's just there.
And she's there for 5 seconds.
Exactly.
I mean, so is Vader. He's there for 5 seconds.
Exactly. You know, so to me, when you really think about it, like, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
Not only that, but that would have gotten people excited. That would have kept people excited. If they would have flubbed up like they did, you know,
yeah.
whether you like the movies or not, Disney flubbed up. They screwed up a little bit. Some things are ruined that shouldn't be like they are.
Yeah.
But let's say they do. So let's say they do start it with 10. That's still going to have people excited because then they're going to say, well, we still can get the adventures of Luke, Leia, and Han.
Mm.
Here's where people would have been having some trouble. They would have to recast.
Yeah, because they would be too old.
They could be too old. I mean, not necessarily.
Well, and that and
depending
Carrie
on
Fisher.
How where they put the story at.
Yeah,
you know, they could
fit it in.
And at the time, they wouldn't have known Carrie Fisher was going to die.
Yeah,
so they could have done it this way. It would have made sense. It would have been so much better. Then they could have recast. You know, they did. Mm. They recasted Han Solo. They already did a CGI Leia. People are accepting these. Other character, yeah. other actors, other people playing these
like,
roles.
Tarkin was completely CGI'd in that movie in Rogue One. He was in there way longer than Leia was.
Yeah. They could do a lot. They could have done something really special if they went this way. And I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a brilliant idea that they should have done that. And honestly, if you ask me, it's not too late to do that still.
Hmm. How so?
Just, I mean, yes, you have the Blu-rays out, the DVDs are out, and everything like that. Just change it. Just say,
yeah.
You know what?
We listen to your petitions.
7, 8, 9 are now 10, 11, 12. You're going to get new 7, 8, 9s. It's going to confuse the hell out of some people.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a getting used to, but
yeah.
you could.
We'll see, why not?
And then that would just boost up if you have any of those Blu-rays and stuff.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, hey, I got The Force Awakens Episode 7.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I just feel like that would have been the smarter move for Disney.
Yeah.
Now everything, you know, hindsight is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some stuff you just can't predict.
But you just gotta sit there and you gotta.
See, I thought you were gonna go with directly affecting it, and I was gonna say make J.J. Abrams direct all three films.
Yeah.
Because that would, I don't know why they were thinking three different directors in the first place.
I mean. The original trilogy was three different directors. You,
yeah.
George Lucas and then...
But they had all
Irving Kirshner,
one writer or group of writers.
Mark Wand or whatever his name
yeah.
is. Yeah, you're right. I mean...
And just... You know, like, you could do whatever. Just let J.J. Abrams do this.
It wasn't so much the director, it was the story.
Yeah. Like, if they should have just let him write the whole story and been like, here
either
you go.
Let one person writer have the story group have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, all the way to Z and say, okay, your movies
here.
Have to fit in this. You can't sway from this. Hey, can I do this? No, it needs to stay here. Like
yeah.
that's what they should have done. I feel like they didn't do
no.
that. I think they have an ending point. I think Abrams always had an ending point in mind. Whether Rian Johnson agreed with that ending point or not,
he clearly didn't.
is you know again he may have. You know, Abrams may have said like this is where I want it to end, and everything that Rian did. Could have easily fit into that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not very good. Not very well.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, honestly, that's kind of where I think that they would have been more successful had
yeah.
they
been 8 or
10, 11,
12.
12.
I agree.
I think that they would have been received better. Even with how poorly received episode 9 was, or episode 8 was, I think that
people would still be like, well, we got one more and then we have three more before it.
Because what are some of people's biggest issues? Who is Snoke? Who are Rey's parents?
Which is a different story in and of itself, because if you look at the original trilogy, we didn't know who the Emperor was. We still technically don't know who Anakin's parents are.
So, let me ask you this.
Parent or father.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Why Not why. Do you think Star Wars Episode 7 or Star Wars Episode 8 is more Star Wars? Which one do you think is more Star Wars? That's how I should say. Which one of those two do you think is more Star Wars?
I mean, Episode 8 is.
Why?
It just hits the points that Star Wars always hits. You got that traumatic, oh my god, we're in Dire. We're you know, and it feels Star Warsy. Episode 7's just like a sci-fi movie. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's a sci-fi movie with the tag Star Wars on it. Which, I mean, I guess when you have that much to live up for, you kind of just you do your thing with everything you can do.
So, Episode 7, directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Star Wars Episode 7 is a J.J. Abrams film. It is a J.J. Abrams film that is being Star Wars.
Yes.
That's what it is. And what do I mean by that? Thank you for asking, Colton.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, J.J. Abrams has this thing called the mystery box. He likes to create mystery. And throughout his story, and sometimes he never answers these things, but throughout his story, he likes to then reveal these mysteries. That's what J.J. Abrams does. That's what he's done with everything that he has ever created, as far back to Alias, to Lost, to Cloverfield, on forward. Anything that he's ever been involved with, Super 8, there's always a mystery box. Sometimes literally, like in Super 8, sometimes figuratively, like in Lost. You know, like there is a mystery box in some form or fashion that he creates with all of his stuff. Star Wars has never been that.
Yeah, it's always
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
8.
Has never been that. It just hasn't. Name me a time that there was a mystery that had to be answered in Star Wars.
Jar Jar being the Darth Sith.
Something that after one of the movies that we watched, we were questioning, scratching our heads.
Okay, I'm gonna answer this as 5-year-old me, because that's when I watched Episode 1. Who's the evil guy?
Okay.
But that's also 5-year-old me speaking.
That's 5-year-old you speaking. As for anybody who watched Star Wars prior, they knew that it was the Emperor.
Yeah. Or if you can match up jawlines.
And here's the thing. You're not the only person. That, like, I showed my buddy Jason 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. I showed him Release Order. I showed him the movies. He was 22, 23, maybe younger, maybe 19, 20, when he first watched them. Mm. Okay? So when he was first watching them, he did not pick up that Sidious was Palpatine. He didn't pick up on it.
I don't see how, but...
But, okay, you're kind of close, but there was no mystery. There was... Yeah. George Lucas was never trying to hide who he was.
Yeah. But again, I was also not young enough to not, you know, put two and two together.
Come on. There's an obvious one that everybody is probably yelling at their radio right now.
Or computer, or phone.
Computer, or phone, whatever.
What was the question again?
What is one thing within Star Wars, the first 6 movies, that after the movie we were scratching our head like, huh?
Who's Anakin's father?
Anakin's father?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. But they explain that relatively easily in the movies.
Yeah, but like...
He has no father. He was born of the Force.
Yeah, but like...
Boom, that's explained.
And then you read a novel and you're like,
Well, that's way later. Next, what else do you think?
I don't know. You got me on my toes. I can't think.
A lot of people right now are probably saying Vader being Luke's father. Vader being Luke's father. People are probably sitting there saying,
"Oh well, yeah."
Star Wars. They were mystery. They had Vader as Luke's father, and that was a big surprise. That was a mystery. That was a no. Wrong, people. Sorry, you're wrong. That was not a mystery. That was nothing. There was never a point in time in Star Wars from the beginning of Star Wars, from the time that first text scroll came up in Star Wars in 1977 to when Vader goes, "No, I am your father." There was never a point in time between those two points that we ever think, who is Luke's father? Ever. Yeah. Ever.
Whether you're just kind of like, whatever.
Whether you're in the theaters in 77 or in the 90s watching it when it was re-released, or when you're Colton's age watching it in the 2000s.
Yeah.
There was never a point in time that you would ever question who Luke's father is. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Because it's explained. They explain it to us.
Yeah.
He was a Jedi Knight.
Who was killed.
Who was killed by Darth Vader.
And they're technically not wrong.
Exactly. You knew my father? He was a Jedi Knight. Or best starfighter pilot in the galaxy. Like, he goes on. He explains who his father is. Completely. Does he leave out the information that it's Vader? Yes. But there was never a point in time where we go, well, who is his father? No, yeah. We were told who his father is.
Yeah, and you never...
Never question it after that.
Yeah.
Ever. So there is no point in Star Wars that there is any mystery at all. So what am I trying to get at here? Well, what I'm trying to get at here is Episode 8, you are right, is more of a Star Wars movie than Episode 7.
Yeah, it's in your face.
Not necessarily in your face.
It's just, this is what it is.
What it did. What it did was Rian Johnson. So J.J. Abrams made a J.J. Abrams film that was a Star Wars movie. J.J. Abrams, or not J.J., Rian Johnson made a Star Wars movie that was a Rian Johnson film.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Two different things there. He made a Star Wars movie. He looked and saw what George Lucas did and made a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
He followed the same steps that Lucas would make in his films. It was the hero's journey, Rey, you know, and discovering oneself and becoming a hero. That is what he was doing. That's what Rian was doing. JJ did that too, but he added that mystery box.
That is Rey.
That is Rey. That is Snoke. That is, you know, Jakku. That is Maz Kanata. Like, he added all these mysterious things to it that has never been Star Wars. So when we all go, when all of us, all of you fans out there, us and everybody else, go to see Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, we are expecting...
Payoff.
Payoff for those mysteries that J.J. Abrams created. We got none of them. Not a single one. Oh, but they say Rey's parents were nobodies. Okay, that's not a payoff. That pissed people off.
Yeah. And in fact, that shouldn't have even been taken literal.
Because of how J.J. presented everything with Rey. Because of how much she wanted to know who her family was. And in turn wanted us to know. That is not a payoff. That is asinine. That's just poor writing.
I still think to this day that that wasn't a line to be taken literal. Like
I think it was a lie. I think
it was something. Just something in the moment to make her mad and join the dark side.
Yes, exactly. You then have who is Snoke. He dies. He's killed before we even know who he is.
Yeah.
Again, you could sit there
pretty,
and say...
Pretty cool way.
Yeah.
But
and you could sit there and say, Emperor was the same way. Yes, absolutely. But the difference is, we never had that mystery, that question of who he is. We knew who Palpatine was. We knew that he was the powerful being in charge of Darth Vader. Like, we were like, Darth Vader's menacing. Oh, crap, there's somebody bigger than him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's all we needed to know. We were never given that opportunity with Kylo Ren. We were never given the opportunity to be like, Kylo Ren is menacing. Oh, crap, there's somebody bigger than him. Oh, he's dead. You know, like, we never had that. It was always Snoke is powerful. Like, boom, Snoke was in the first 5 minutes of The Force Awakens. You know, and that diminished Kylo a little bit. I love Kylo Ren. I think he's an excellent villain, but... Yeah,
and his character complexity is amazing.
Yeah, but he was taken down a notch because of Snoke, because we saw Snoke, you know?
Mm.
So there's some things there that Abrams did. So you're sitting there saying, oh, I would have loved to have seen Abrams write all three or direct all three.
Yeah.
We would have gotten our payoffs, but it would have been the least Star Wars trilogy out of the bunch. It's still going to be the least Star Wars trilogy out of the bunch because he's doing two of the three movies. But that's what I'm getting at is, you know, people want to sit there and hate The Last Jedi. People want to sit there and hate The Force Awakens. Here's your reasons why you should not like these movies right there. That is it. The chances that Rian Johnson took with The Last Jedi are no different than the chances that George Lucas took with the prequels.
Yeah.
The chances that Abrams did are completely different than we've ever seen before in a Star Wars movie, and people loved it. People loved it. They don't get a payoff in the next one, so people are mad. And that's why people are mad. People don't understand what to be mad about with Star Wars. That's the problem. They don't understand. Oh, Leia Poppins. Okay, first off, the Force has been ever-growing in Star Wars. Things have always changed from movie to movie, from trilogy to trilogy, from cartoon to cartoon. Like
from comic to comic.
Comic to... Like, the Force is ever changing. It's adapting. It's becoming. We're finding out new and creative ways of the Force being used. So the Leia Poppins thing, you can be mad about that all you want.
I'm
but it's feasible.
I'm mad about it, but I think it's just the way it was filmed. It just didn't look right.
Yeah.
Like, that could just be chalked up to cinematography, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Cause, like,
you could be right about that. But, you know, people get mad at that. The other things that people are mad about is Rey, Luke, and Snoke. Those are, like, the three big ones that people are mad about. The thing with Luke that they're mad about is he's not the character I thought he would be. Well, that's movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's what movies are. Like, they're not your idea. Yeah. They're somebody else's idea.
And it's explained why he is how he is.
And it makes sense.
Yeah. Like, that would take a toll on a human psyche.
And it fits his character from 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It makes sense.
You just want him to be the hero he was in Legacy. Yeah. Or Legends, sorry.
And want him to be the hero. What people don't realize is the new hero is Rey.
Yeah.
And you can't have Luke overshadowing the new hero. Like, you just can't do that.
Exactly.
So, you have that people are mad at. You know, people are mad about Rey because you don't know who her parents are, and you get no payoff. And then Snoke. Who's Snoke? He just dies. Okay, that's it. That's what people say they're mad at. But what they really are mad at is J.J. Abrams and what he created. The Force Awakens is a great movie. It's a fun movie. It's a fun movie to watch, to enjoy. It has some great moments. Some of the best Star Wars music is in it. You know, some great scenes. It's beautifully shot. But there's more issues with The Force Awakens. In hindsight, after seeing these two movies, there's more problems with Episode 7 than Episode 8.
Yeah, Episode 8 really just has 20 minutes that can be taken out.
Yeah. There's so much more emotion. There's so much more, you know, character development in Episode 8. And the whole movie takes place in like 4 hours. You know, like,
that's scary, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. So, and really, if you think about it, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi all take place within like 3 days.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy, huh?
Ooh. That's a lot to happen to a lot of people in 3 days.
Yeah.
Ooh.
If even 3 days.
Yeah. Like, everybody dies. Literally everybody dies. Yeah. Ooh. So, I never thought about that. That really does take place in like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Hmm. And I mean, that's also an issue that I have with the movie. That's probably my biggest issue with the Last Jedi, is the amount of time that Rey is on Octu compared to the time that everything is going on.
Yeah.
With, you know, the resistance and the First Order. There we go. You know, like that stuff going on. That's my issue. Like, like the timing.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like difference, like how fast they're rotating around the sun and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Which. That science.
Yeah. And it's fantasy. Like, it's fantasy. You know, people get mad about bombs dropping in space. It's fantasy, people. This is not science fiction. It is fantasy.
Bombs dropping in space, the way they did it, makes sense.
Yes, you're right.
An object in motion will stay in motion unless another object acts upon it.
Yes.
They were forced down. They're going to fall down in space.
Yes.
Makes sense.
No, you're exactly right. Like, no, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm not.
That argument makes me so mad.
But there's so many people that are out there that they find reasons to complain about it. They refuse to realize that Star Wars is fantasy. It is not science fiction. It is fantasy. It's sci-fi fantasy, but it's more fantasy than sci-fi. Yeah.
And the fact that the one thing they're complaining about is backed by actual science.
Yeah.
Like real world science.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of how our Shooting the Sith episodes are going to go.
Really shot that Sith good. took our gerbs.
We'll talk news. We'll have discussions on different things. I want to hear what you guys think about the trilogy, the sequel trilogy. Do you think that it would have benefited it actually being 10, 11, and 12, and then down the line getting a 7, 8, 9? What do you think about The Last Jedi actually being more of a Star Wars movie than The Force Awakens is?
We're going to get some hate.
And here's the thing. I'm not sitting here saying that you have to like The Last Jedi because it's more of a Star Wars movie than The Force Awakens is. I'm not saying that. If you have your issues with The Last Jedi, then you have your issues with The Last Jedi. It is what it is. But you need to at least realize that Rian Johnson actually made a Star Wars film directed by Rian Johnson, while J.J. Abrams made a J.J. Abrams film that was a Star Wars movie. That's essentially what it was, and that's how it is, and that is where some people dislike what we've gotten, and people need to realize that. I think I really do think they need to realize that.
Yeah.
So
support our trilogy.
Our trilogy of Vader and Starkiller and Obi-Wan and Yoda. And
yeah, we'll work on the Yoda part, but we definitely got two parts of it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll figure something out. Good times.
Get to our crowdfunder.
So this has been Shooting the Sith. Thanks for listening. We will definitely be doing more of these, hopefully sooner rather than later. And may the Force be with you.